You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Later on in the episode, you'll be hearing from Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. We're doing a split episode today. I'll give you a little background. It's kind of a somber day. Sunday was a terrible day for LA sports fans. Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven others died in a helicopter crash in Calabasas. And our plan for today's episode, Vince was at Dodgers Fan Fest on Saturday, got a lot of interviews with players, had a great time. And so our plan was for Vince to do a solo episode today talking about Fan Fest, but we've pushed that back a day. Because even though it's a Dodgers podcast, the overlap of Dodger fans and Laker fans is obviously significant. And Kobe Bryant kind of transcends just the Lakers. He relates to the Dodgers a lot. And so we felt like we needed to take some time to talk about Kobe Bryant. So I'm just going to take a few minutes here at the beginning. Vince has the deeper perspective in a lot of ways. Vince, was like 5 years old when Kobe came into the league. Vince is a diehard Lakers fan. And so kind of Kobe's whole career was in Vince's lifetime and was Vince is a huge Kobe fan, and a huge Laker fan. I am more of a baseball person and I moved out of Southern California in 1995. And so, as far as Kobe's basketball career, I'm aware of it, but I don't have that much perspective in that way, but I do have some thoughts, a few thoughts about it, and then I'll turn it over to Vince for the deeper stuff. So that's the plan for today. First, I do want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts, and when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. I think this is going to be one of those defining moments for a lot of people. The whole where were you when you found out Kobe Bryant had died? It's hard to even say that. Like it feels, I don't know, died is such a weird word. But I mean, that's what happened. And people try to dress it up and say passed away or whatever. But, yeah, it's terrible what happened. And, just as, my parents can tell you exactly where they were when they heard the news about JFK being assassinated, or, John Lennon, or, all those different notable events in history, deaths in history, this Kobe Bryant one. And for me, I was at church, as I often am on Sundays, and it kind of, the news broke, and at first nobody really believed it. Everybody was hoping it was bad information or whatever. And then over time, gradually, it became clear that unfortunately it wasn't bad information. And we didn't find out for another hour or two after that that Kobe's daughter had been on the plane, on the helicopter with him. She was, I think, 13 years old. I'm a parent. I have three kids, including a daughter who is just a little bit older than that, and a son who is almost exactly that age. And then to find out that TMZ broke the news before police had notified any families, that as a dad, to think about finding out that my loved ones had died, finding out from social media, just tears me up. Obviously, no matter how Vanessa Bryant had found out, it would have been a terrible day for her and her other daughters. But to find out that way is just terrible. It's TMZ is kind of a garbage organization. They're rushed to break news that is, I don't know. They're usually gossip, and so they're usually easy to ignore. But unfortunately, in this case, it wasn't. This was actually important, real life stuff, and it's terrible that that's the way it went down. And then we found out, you know, originally they said there were five people on board. Originally, it was the news was Coben, Gianna Bryant, and one of her teammates, and that teammate's one of her parents, and then the pilot. And then as time went by, we found out it was actually the teammate and both of her parents and a few other people, and a total of nine people, including John Altobelli, the baseball coach at Orange Coast College. He and his wife and daughter were on the helicopter. So now their two remaining children are left without their parents and their little sister. I don't know. It's something that there's no real words to describe. Kobe Bryant, like I said, I wasn't really a basketball fan. To the extent that I cared about basketball, I was a Laker fan. I've always liked Kobe as a player to the extent that I cared. Obviously, he has kind of a complicated legacy, with his personal life and different things. I'm not going to go into too much detail there. There's a time and a place for that. And the day a person dies is not the time or the place. I do think that I believe in second chances. I've said that before. And if you were to draw up a kind of a game plan for someone to improve their lives after making mistakes, it would look a lot like Kobe Bryant's life. As far as we can tell, he'd become a great family man, a great dad, a great husband. And, you know, he adored his daughters. Brandon McCarthy said on Twitter that one of the things that hurts the most about it is that it seemed like Kobe had a lot more to do, and a lot of it might have been in the realm of women's sports because he was a dad of girls. And, you know, I've seen this clip go around on Twitter of Kobe on a talk show talking about when people will tell him, "Oh, you need to have some sons so they can carry on your legacy." And Gianna would just say, "I got this. I can do it." And Kobe, you could tell how proud he was, how excited he was for her to live out her dreams, her athletic dreams, her life dreams. So, I mean, it is all just heartbreaking. It to have somebody die at age 41 when they are so full of life, you know, just literally 12 hours before Kobe died, he had recorded a video congratulating Cody Bellinger on winning the MVP award. He had just got done congratulating LeBron James for passing him in all-time scoring in the NBA. I mean, he was still an active and vibrant part of the LA community. He was often at Dodger games. He was a huge Dodger fan. There were times. I'm not usually in awe of celebrities. It's cool. I like seeing celebrities and stuff, but there's very few that awe me. But sometimes I would just think I'm in the vicinity of Kobe Bryant. Like, he wasn't just a celebrity, he was a legend. It's the same way I feel when Sandy Koufax is at Dodger Stadium. It's like, I'm in the presence of greatness. Whenever I see Vince Scully, I felt that way. Kobe just kind of, he was a legend. And it's heartbreaking as a dad to think about what Vanessa and her other kids are going through, to think about what the Altobellis are going through, the other families who lost people, who unfortunately their names aren't as recognizable, and they're real people too, and their families are hurting every bit as much. For me, it's another reminder. Unfortunately, we have too many of these reminders that life is short and we need to treasure it, treasure the time with our loved ones. It's too short for stupid, petty squabbles. It's too short for anything stupid. Love your loved ones. And, you know, like I said, Vince will be here to talk a lot about Kobe's legacy, more about Kobe as a ball player, probably. I don't know what Vince is going to say. We haven't really coordinated this much. But I just wanted to take a minute to pay tribute to Kobe Bryant, to send my thoughts and well wishes to his family and all of you. I know that this has affected a lot of you in a very real and deep and sad and profound way. And I'm grieving with you. It's terrible. So Vince will be along in a minute. So keep it locked on, Dodgers.
But before we do that, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about Arizona again. Okay. Arizona, yes, Arizona is where the Dodgers have spring training. Camelback has been there. It's been a while
I
now.
I think last year was their 10th or 11th year there.
Yeah, it's been there a long time. So if you haven't made it out yet, I highly recommend it. We'll talk a little bit about Camelback today real quick. It's a nice facility. It's in a nice area. There's a lot, you know, around there for pregame, postgame, whatever. And it's just nice. The backfields are really nice. You know, you can line up and watch players practice and warm up and go through drills depending what time of the month you're there and, you know, have to have a game that day, whatever. But it's a nice way to get close to the players. It's a nice little community. You just see a lot of other Dodger fans and you get excited for baseball. And, yeah, there's just a lot about Camelback. Jeff, what is your one favorite thing about Camelback?
I think it is just that little triangle back there by the backfields where, if anybody who's been there will know what I'm talking about, but you've got the little pathway that the players walk from their locker room out to the one practice field. And then you've got another practice field just to the right of that, that has bleachers behind it. So you can sit and watch stuff happening there. So you've got stuff going on both fields. Just being back there, there's trees, there's shade. It's a really nice, relaxing place. Even if you're not trying to get autographs, it's a nice, relaxing place to just watch baseball, watch these guys who you love watching play, watch playing. And it's, when I think of spring training, that spot is what I think of.
The presence of baseball is around you. But, you know, Arizona's not limited to just Camelback Ranch. But if you want to find out what else Arizona is about, you can go to visitarizona.com/springtraining and plan your trip and see what else there is to do out there. And stay locked on, Dodgers. If you've been a listener of our podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Dodgers is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Dodgers fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Dodgers fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word ADVERTISING to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, that's the word ADVERTISING to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff, for holding down that first part of the show. I would have preferred to have us been able to talk together, but the original plan was for this episode to be about FanFest, and we weren't going to record together originally, and didn't quite work out. But yeah, very weird day for us in Los Angeles and anyone who was affected by the horrible news that was hit on Sunday. You know, first and foremost, prayers and thoughts and condolences and anything else that we can put out there into the world for the families of all those affected, not just the Bryants, but the others that were involved in the accident and lost their lives. And it's been a weird day. Definitely one that, you know, you prefer not to have, and definitely one that, you know, I've been kind of thinking a lot today. And I knew I was going to have to talk about it, but, you know, it's hard to really formulate exactly what you're going to say. I'll start first and foremost with me saying that I am not one of those people who was completely in love with Kobe or blindly in love with Kobe. I had a little bit more of a realistic sense of Kobe and definitely enjoyed him a little bit more in my younger years as opposed to a little bit more in his later years. But definitely, you know, respect him and definitely how he's kind of, how he, you know, kind of changed his story and his narrative once he graduated from the NBA or once he retired from the NBA and kind of moved on and became an ambassador for a lot of different things, including women's sports and you know, promoting children's sports and whatever else, you know, that he was out there for. But, you know, moving on from that, it still hit me pretty hard. It's, you know, I have been lucky enough to not have experienced too much loss in life so far. I've been very lucky in that sense. And, I mean, as you guys know, I put a lot into sports, and sports is a passion, and sports is definitely something that I grew up with and continue to have. And the Lakers are one of those teams, and, you know, in terms of ranking them, the Lakers probably come third in the major sports of my fandom, but only because, you know, I love baseball and football that much more. But the Kobe and the Lakers are, you know, kind of what's kept fandom alive, that the knowing what it feels like to be a championship team comes from those Lakers and comes from, you know, the Kobe and Shaq days, and then all the way to the Kobe and Gasol and Odom and those days. So, you know, definitely hits hard when something like this happens. And, you know, even if you weren't a Laker fan, or even if you weren't necessarily living in Los Angeles or whatever it is, you still feel the impact. And we saw that profoundly on social media and, you know, in the NBA and in the sports world in general. And a lot of that sentiment, you know, is genuine. It's not just stuff that gets said for social media. You know, for anybody that's grown up in the last 20 years, Kobe was somehow part of your life, whether it was for you're rooting for him, rooting against him, or whatever it was. Kobe was a part of that. And, you know, for a lot of these players, even if they're not just playing basketball, it's someone that, you know, either they looked up to or they took something from him, or, you know, something stood out, or, you know, he somehow managed to make some kind of impact on their life. And the mama mentality, as a lot of players say and use, is something that a lot of athletes strive for. And it's, you know, the way Kobe Bryant was able to kind of put nothing else ahead of his pursuit of greatness and his pursuit of championships and his pursuit of getting better. And, you know, a lot of players have done it before, but Kobe, you know, kind of cemented that, maybe a little bit to the extreme, you know, a little maniacal at times. But at the end of the day, you know, what more could you ask for out of a competitor and out of someone who's on your team or who's, you know, you're rooting for your team or whatever? There's not much more you can ask for than Kobe Bryant in that aspect. And, you know, just Los Angeles, this one hits L.A. You know, earlier this, or in 2019, Nipsey Hussle, the rapper, passed away. And it hit L.A. and it hit me. But, you know, not as hard as this one does. You know, Kobe was L.A. He grew up here, coming to the Lakers via a draft night trade, 18 years old, making his NBA debut straight out of high school, up until his last year in 2016, when he finished and closed out his career with the 60-point game at Staples Center. And there's so many memories in between that. There's 81 points, there's 62 points against the Mavs in three quarters, there's the championships, there's the buzzer beaters, the game winners, the biting of the jersey, the slam dunk contests. There's just so much that Kobe brought to Los Angeles and to Lakers fans that there's no way you could not respect him and to a certain extent love him. And that's kind of where it's at. I you know, when I first heard the news, as most of us, you know, this can't be real. I clicked that TMZ link 20 to 30 times to, you know, just see, was this the real TMZ? Double checked if it was the verified check mark. You know, just kind of waiting for other people to see what it, if it could be confirmed. And, you know, sadly it was confirmed, and you just feel, and I tweeted out that it felt like an alternate reality. It kind of feels like, you know, people have thoughts of what would happen if I died or something to that extent. And that's kind of what it felt like with this. It's, you know, what it felt like, a what if Kobe died, and the rest of the moments and the day was just kind of clouded by that. And people know, people that know me know how I feel about the Lakers. I'm a Laker fan first and foremost, but there are a lot of people that are Laker fans because of Kobe, and that blind of their fandom gets a little blurred between being a Kobe fan and a Laker fan. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's love for players, love for teams, and, you know, there's no one that shouldn't be, that shouldn't feel this, and there's no one that can tell you you shouldn't feel a certain way because of this tragedy. And that's where it's at. And I was thinking, you know, I have a number 8 Kobe jersey somewhere. I have no idea where it's at. I'm going to have to find it eventually. But yeah, I mean, that childhood growing up watching Kobe and Shaq and seeing them win championships. And I remember being outside and watching games at my uncle's house, who's, you know, a big Laker fan as well. And us as the kids, we'd go outside and we'd stand in the back of his pickup truck and we'd hold a sign and honk if you're rooting for the Lakers, or we'd give updates of the Lakers score. And, you know, that's something I remember doing. And just one of the many memories I have. And it's because Kobe Bryant and because of Lakers and because of what he meant to this team and this city. And it's hard to think about that he won't be here. He had so much more to give, and it seemed that he learned what it was to get away from basketball. I think when he retired, a lot of people weren't sure how he was going to handle it. You could definitely see him making a comeback a la Michael Jordan. You could, you know, the Big Three, the other basketball league, wanted him to play. And for someone to do and be so much into basketball that he was, that he put in those 20 years that he was a Laker, and to see him just kind of quit it cold turkey, it didn't seem like it was possible, but he did it, and he excelled. He won an Oscar, and he, you know, his daughter got him back into basketball, and he began coaching, and you could kind of see where she got a lot of her, obviously her passion and her love for the game comes from Kobe, and he kind of rediscovered that love and passion for the game in a different sense from her. And, you know, that's why the loss of Gigi Bryant is tough as well. I mean, she had it figured out for the most part, or she seemed to have it figured out. You know, she loved basketball, but she had other things that she, you know, liked to do. And, you know, the what Jeff brought up with the, you know, telling him that telling Kobe that he needed sons to kind of keep his legacy going. And Gigi, you know, she wasn't having any of that. And she was she knew what to say, and she had that back of it too. So it's just been a weird, weird, weird day. And it's hard to put it into words. I know I'm saying a lot of words right now and maybe a little bit of a ramble, but that's just, you know, how the whole day's kind of been. The whole day's kind of been rambled and scrambled and jumbled up and into a lot of different emotions and a lot of different feelings and you know, memories and stuff like that. I remember listening to the Suns when Kobe hit the game winner against the Suns in the playoffs. I remember listening to that game in the car on the radio because my brother had baseball practice and I had to go be there. And I remember listening in the car by myself as however old I was, 10, 11, 12 years old, or a little bit older maybe, and Kobe hitting that shot and, you know, just the pure excitement that came from it and knowing that it was going to happen. And I remember going to another playoff game later on when the Lakers played the Mavericks and it came down to the last play of the game. And this shot, Kobe actually missed, but, you know, we all were on our feet and you expected him to hit that shot just because he had done it so many times before and you knew he was fearless in that he was going to put up that shot regardless of how many people were guarding him or what it came down to. And that's just probably the biggest part that, you know, you could take from Kobe was fearlessness. He was not afraid to be vulnerable in his pursuit of greatness. And I think that's a hard part for a lot of people. And maybe more so in the, you know, his post-playing days, he felt that you probably would not see that vulnerability. He would never allow you to see that vulnerability when he was playing. But you could see it after. And, you know, just a work ethic and fearlessness and tenacity. There's so many adjectives you can use to describe Kobe Bryant. But at the end of the day, it's Laker. And he's a Laker and he's Los Angeles. And the impact he has not only on the city but on the world as a whole is profound, and it's you know, been seen today and will continue to be seen in the future. And the legacy of Kobe Bryant and Gigi Bryant to that extent is going to live on. And you know, it sucks. It's been a not great day. And just to think about, you know, you think about how you're affected or how we are affected as fans, and you have all this emotion and you can't even, you know, pass that on to how the families of all those that died in that crash were affected, and, you know, how their lives have been changed on this day. So, you know, there's just a lot of thinking, a lot of perspective to put onto it. But to Kobe, you know, thank you for the memories. Thank you for doing everything you could in order to bring championships to the Lakers and to Los Angeles. And thank you for, you know, winning those championships and bringing all that to the Lakers. It was a blast watching you growing up. It was fun watching you in the tail end of career. And you know, the memories that you gave us as fans will live on forever. Everything that your legacy stood for will live on forever. And, yeah, I look forward to seeing some of the great things that are going to come from this tragedy, because as with all tragedies, there will be some greatness to come from it. And if it's anywhere near the greatness that you showed in your life, then, you know, we're going to be just fine over here in Los Angeles, and we're going to make sure that you live on as long as you need to live on. So thank you all for listening to me, a little bit of a ramble on Kobe Bryant. I hope somehow if you needed to hear some words from someone else or different perspective, I hope this helped a little bit. You know, I wish me and Jeff could have had the conversation together. It would have been a little bit less rambling, a little more of a dialogue. But at the end of the day, you know, this one goes out to number 8 and number 24, the Black Mamba. And we'll be back tomorrow to talk about the Dodgers and whatever comes with that. I'm not sure if it'll be a lot of the FanFest stuff or us commenting on what was said at FanFest. But we'll be back tomorrow with that. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. You can call and shoot us a voicemail or a text at 323-863-5625. You can shoot us the email lockedondodgers@gmail.com. Please subscribe to the show, download, review, listen, rate, all that good stuff. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bonzo!